Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to our 77th podcast on this December 12th, 2019. And it's a great topic today, sports betting and the Mayo Clinic. I'll say it one more time, sports betting and the Mayo Clinic. Interested? Well, our little audience is, and we'll be right back to start the show.
Excellent. Absolutely excellent.
Well, I think I mentioned it on the podcast or two ago, but if you're on our Facebook group, we would ask you to join our Facebook group, Casinos USA, written as two words. You know, come on, man. We post every day, and so do other people, but keeps you up to date on what's happening in the casino world across the country. But I mentioned that I've been homebound. I had a hip replacement, and I just want to tell you, if you're thinking about getting a hip replacement, the first week's pretty tough. And if, you know, usually today you come home after one day, maybe 2 days in the hospital, and you really can't do it unless you have somebody to help you. Now, they don't have to be there constantly, but you're sort of a little paranoid about moving quickly to the left or right without thinking because you're vulnerable to a dislocation. So that cup that they replaced with a synthetic cup and that ball that they cut out and replaced with a synthetic ball and super glued it together into the cup, taking away all that arthritis that's built up over the years, well, it's susceptible to dislocation, which is just horrible and painful. And of course, you'd have to redo a lot of the operation. But if you would fall and you were home alone, you just no way. I'm just telling you. And yeah, I'm a weightlifter and I was a decent athlete. You can't get up. There's no way you could get yourself up if you fell. So that's the danger of being alone, you know, constantly. And that kind of a situation lasts maybe 4 or 5 days. Now, the thing with dislocation, that lasts 6 weeks. And I'm past that, and I'm actually cleared to shovel snow. My wife's happy to hear that. But because I was homebound, and this is the point of the story, I spent a lot of time with a new sports betting app that's legal in Pennsylvania, and it's BetRivers.com. And I also have a digital subscription to the Review Journal, which is the daily newspaper of Las Vegas. And of course, I had a chance to catch up on a lot of gambling podcasts that I enjoy and also some new ones. So I got to be very excited and I was financially rewarded by my sports betting. Now on Facebook, I posted our bets, you know, so people could see what I was doing, and I just said, please don't follow me because, you know, I'm just an amateur recreational gambler having fun. But I had incredible luck. Maybe when it's all over and done for the season, I'll put them all up there on Facebook. Just incredible luck. You know, I didn't discuss how much money I was betting. And let me just mention that for a second because it made it all the more fun. The most expensive bet that I placed was $60, and I placed that with the casino money, and that's because the casino matched your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $250. And I withdrew my deposit and played with their money, and I'm still doing that. And I've taken out close to $500. So I've had an incredible success. You know, a lot of games I would bet $20, $25. And sometimes I'd bet one game for $25 and then 10 games for $2 each, you know. When they legalized sports betting in Pennsylvania with the sports apps, they did something that I don't think casinos wanted to do. The state said that people can bet just a dollar. How about that? Now, there's no way in the world I'd have driven to Pittsburgh, go into their sports book, and bet a dollar on something, you know. Because sports betting has been legal here for a couple of years, not the app, but the sports betting. And so, you know, I would go and, you know, maybe play craps, and when I was done, I would place a bet. And if I did well, you know, I'd maybe bet $50. If I lost in craps that day, maybe I'd bet $25. And that's what I was doing. You know, I didn't go there just to place a bet. And I had an excuse to go back and pick up my money sometimes, you know. So that was another advantage. But with the sports app, my goodness, I mean, there's just so, it's just so much fun. You can put together your own parlays, you know, put together 16 parlays, bet $5, you know, you end up winning $70. You know what I mean? You can really have a lot of fun, be creative. I also bet on NASCAR, Kyle Busch. I bet on him to win it all, and he did. That was 3-1 odds, I think it was. And I had some other things. I bet on the Golden Knights and the Pittsburgh Penguins hockey teams. And man, I'm telling you, I just had incredible luck. You know, no, I didn't win them all. And when we didn't win them all, we talked about it on Twitter or on our Facebook. So it was a lot of fun. And I kept getting so excited about it, I wanted to talk about it and talk about it. You know, again, I was getting more excited. You know, the adrenaline was pumping. I couldn't wait to the games. I watched the games. Sometimes I had a couple televisions going, you know, one in one room, I'd check out, walk into with one game, and then one in the other. I'd flip back and forth and drive Janie, my wife, crazy. But I really got pumped up about it. And then I started thinking, you know, am I getting sort of addicted to this? You know what I mean? I mean, it was exciting and financially rewarding, and I was thinking about that. And so I did a little research, and I ran into bulletins posted by the Mayo Clinic. And, of course, the Mayo Clinic is one of the most iconic medical facilities in the United States of America. If you ever want to have some fun, just do some research on the Mayo Clinic, because it's just incredible, you know, what they have done over the years. But they are also alerting people that gambling can stimulate the brain's reward system, you know, the way drugs or alcohol can, and that can lead to an addiction. So you may have a problem, you know, what's the term, compulsive gambling. You may continually chase bets, and they kind of like lead to losses sometimes. You can hide your behavior, you can deplete your savings, you can accumulate debt. And who knows? You can, you know, some people even resort to fraud and, you know, become thieves. You know, how many stories are, even in Western Pennsylvania, and I don't know where you're listening, but business managers for car dealerships, doctor's offices, you know, they take out thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, illegally. They steal it. And they're caught. And when they're caught, they confess up to, because of gambling, that they have a gambling addiction. So I was interested in this. I know it's a serious, very serious condition. It can destroy lives. And I wondered, like, well, what are the signs, you know, if you're going in that direction? And I don't think I'm going in that direction, but I thought people must get excited like this. You know? They must get a little wacky about it, the way I was getting about it. So you and I aren't going to embezzle money, you know, but we might share this excitement and that adrenaline push. And, you know, so I just wanted to say, you know, the Mayo Clinic's bulletin talked about the symptoms that compulsive gambling, this gambling disorder, what they include. So I'm going to just talk about each one a little bit. The first one is, and again, this is not from Dr. Fab. This is from the Mayo Clinic. Being preoccupied with gambling, such as constantly planning how to get more gambling money. Well, that's not me. But I do plan, and I do save. I do have a gambling account, but let's hope it stays in check. Needing to gamble with increasing amounts of money to get the same thrill. It's funny because my wife would often say, like, you should bet more, because I was winning, you know. And I'd say, no, I really don't want to risk more. But, you know, I make a case with 3-2-1 craps, our system for low rollers, is that if you need to bet more money to get the same thrill that you used to get with less money, that's bad. That's a bad sign, you know? Now, if you can afford to bet a large amount of money, that's your thing, you know what I mean? So, but if it's a struggle and you're taking money from somewhere else, even if it's legally, and you're hurting your family, you're hurting yourself, that's dangerous. If you're trying to control your gambling and you're trying to cut back gambling or even stop gambling and you don't have any success with that, Mayo Clinic said that's another symptom. Do you feel restless or irritable when you try to cut down on gambling? You know, you're at a casino and your wife says, let's go to dinner, let's do this, let's do that. And you said, no, you know, you don't want to leave what you're doing, ever. If you gamble to escape problems or relieve feelings of helplessness, feelings of guilt or anxiety or depression, that's dangerous. You know, you could be on your way to a gambling addiction. And, of course, we've talked about this many times, trying to get back lost money by gambling more. You know, in the industry, we call that chasing losses. I've seen people chase losses, you know, on one single visit and sometimes find success. But if you repeatedly just bet more to win back what you already lost, that could lead to disaster because you could keep losing. If you find yourself lying to family members or anyone to hide the extent of gambling, that's a symptom. If gambling is jeopardizing in terms of losing important relationships that you have, you know, at work or if you're in school, opportunities that you blow because you spend time gambling, that's another symptom. You know, you might be thinking about me when I talk about driving to Pittsburgh before the sports app was legal. I didn't bet with bookies. In the jobs that I had, part of my job description was raising money. And, of course, my employers wouldn't have liked it too much because I'm talking about big money, millions of dollars. They wouldn't have liked it too much if, you know, I was arrested with an illegal sports bookie, you know, and I'm going to go out to dinner and ask someone to give $500,000 to our group. You know, I don't think they'd like it too much. So I didn't bet with bookies. You know, I just didn't bet. And I grew up with bookies, but as an adult, I didn't bet because of the employment that I had. And you wouldn't have either because it was a great job. But so that's why I got so excited when the sports book opened in Pittsburgh at the Rivers Casino. And then when the sports app, BetRivers.com, came, I got so excited. I thought, hey, I better check this out. And again, we talked about resorting to embezzlement, theft, fraud to get gambling money. And if you've ever gone to someone else and asked them to bail you out, oh boy, that has to be a big one, huh? You know, you go to a family member or a friend and say, hey, you know, how about $1,500? I got carried away and I spent money. Those are big signs. So recreational gamblers, casual gamblers, you know, we stop when we lose. We set loss limits. People with compulsive gambling problems, they're compelled, almost forced, you know, mentally to keep playing to recover their money. And that's a pattern that becomes increasingly destructive, dangerous over time. So some people with a compulsive gambling problem may have remission where they gamble less, or they don't even gamble at all for a while. But if you really do have a compulsive gambling problem and you don't have any treatment, you usually give in to your desire to gamble, and it isn't permanent, that remission. You go back into it. So the Mayo Clinic says exactly what causes someone to gamble compulsively isn't well understood. It may result from a combination of biological, they say genetic, or even environmental factors. But if you recognize your own behavior from the list of signs that we talked about, the signs and symptoms of compulsive gambling, they say to seek professional help. You know, people who gamble compulsively often have substance abuse problems, personality disorders. You may have depression, anxiety, and compulsive gambling is also associated with bipolar disorder. So these are all things to find out. Statistics show us that compulsive gambling is more common in younger and middle-aged people. Gambling during childhood or teenage years increases the risk of developing compulsive gambling problems, but I did, and I don't think I have compulsive gambling. I am definitely a recreational gambler. But it's also true that you can be an older adult and still develop these compulsive gambling problems. It used to be that men gambled more than women, and today they say it's about equal. You know, because I think there's legalization of casino gambling in 41 states, women are gambling as much as men, and by the same statistic, they run into problems in the same way that men do. So it's not just to one gender. It's both genders that have these problems. I was just so excited, and I enjoyed so much sports betting with my app and having fun and winning money and not having very many losses. You know, I thought, man, I better check these feelings, you know. I want to check these feelings. And that's what I wanted to share with you today. Sports betting in the Mayo Clinic. Yeah, I'm not going to stop sports betting, but I'm going to be aware of my feelings, and I'm going to control my feelings. And I want to thank the Mayo Clinic for putting these bulletins out on the internet and, you know, to warn all of us, and especially to warn us recreational gamblers so we don't get carried away. And, you know, you look to your left, look to your right in your own family, and you might find people that, man, they're pouring a ton of money into slots or table games, and, you know it's hurting them. They don't talk about it. So maybe every once in a while, if you have that kind of relationship in your family with a good friend, you got to say, hey, hey, Jackson, let's talk about something here. It's troubling me. A little worried about you, you know. And, you know, you can do some research yourself, but you can definitely ask them to seek professional help. And we're going to move on then to the next part of our podcast. And I'm going to call this segment Rather Personal. Rather Personal. Okay, we'll be back shortly. Well, if you listen to us every once in a while, or if you listen to us a lot more than every once in a while, thank you. But there are things that we do that you would recognize, and there are things that we don't do. And I wanted to spend some time today talking about things that we don't do, and you may wonder why we don't. And one of them is we use very little profanity. You know, the podcast world is just filled with vulgarities. I almost sometimes think it's like grade school humor, you know, just saying words associated with middle school, you know, and boys can be boys, that kind of thing. I don't see any purpose in it. You know, my mother told me, not that I don't use vulgarity privately, but I'm talking about doing it publicly. My mother told me profanity is an excuse for a poor vocabulary, you know. So I don't F this, F that, you know, it gets worse, you know, it gets worse. And I just think, well, you know, that's not me, and I'm not going to pretend to be something that I'm not, you know. And I'm not going to judge people that speak that way to me, to around me. If they do it to me, yeah, they could be in trouble. But I am judging people that do it publicly, because I just think it's ridiculous, you know. So, you know, I'll say what the hell every once in a while, but that's about it. You know, this dark, deep vulgarity is just something we don't do. And that's why you can play your podcast, you know, in the living room with your kids nearby. All right. You don't have to worry about it. The other thing is, we don't glorify alcohol. I just get so sick and tired of this. There's so many Vegas podcasts. They glorify intoxication. Like, I like the European attitude. You know, most European countries don't have a drinking age, but it doesn't matter what age you are. If you're intoxicated, you're a fool. You're pathetic. So those people that glorify drinking, like if that's why you're going to Vegas, why don't you just save yourself the bus money? stay at home and drink. I mean, don't be driving your car around your community. You know what I mean? And there's nothing worse to me. Like, you're at a Vegas, you're at a craps table, you know, and you got two or three drunks to contend with at the table. You can see the disgust in the dealer's eyes and the pit boss, and it's just terrible, you know. But they glorify that like it's some kind of big deal. Like, you're a real man, you know. You're a grown woman now, you know. Pretty sad. Rather personal. I find it disgusting. And then the other side of it, you know, very honestly, some people have drinking problems. And, you know, I don't want to embarrass them. So it's not like you could choose to drink or not drink. You know, there are some people that did drink at one time and they're alcoholics and now they can't drink. They're good people, you know, and they're trying to stay off the bottle. And like, we're not going to pressure people like to hang with us. You have to, you know, drink shots. You have to do this. You have to do that. It's pretty crazy, you know, and it's also very immature, selfish to think that way, you know. There may be people that you admire that you notice they don't drink, and they might have never had the urge to drink, or they might have been in this drinking thing so deeply that they finally got out of it before they destroyed themselves, and that's why they don't drink today. So I just, you know, because I've traveled in the business world the way I have, understand the social implications of those people who cannot drink alcohol at this point because they can't stop when they start drinking, and so they don't drink. And please don't force good people to make bad choices because you have a limited awareness of other people's problems, okay? That's rather personal. And continuing to be rather personal, I'm going to talk a little about credulity, you know, our credibility as a podcast. Well, Casinos USA, I'm Coach Fav. I have a daughter, Janie and I have a daughter, who lives in Las Vegas, in the Henderson area. She works in Las Vegas. Her guy is a businessman in Las Vegas. Her children go to Las Vegas schools. And I have a granddaughter who's at the University of Nevada, Reno. And I have a grandson who is a dealer, craps, blackjack, baccarat, on the strip. So, you know, there are people that claim to be experts about Las Vegas. And they go to Las Vegas once or twice a year, you know, for 4 or 5 days. That makes them experts about Vegas. Well, we're in Vegas all the time, and it's not because of gambling. It's because of family. And, you know, we understand the point of view of the native Las Vegians and their attitude toward tourists and how they look at the strip, how they look at gambling, because there's gambling everywhere. You know, my daughter always talks about that. You know, she said, you can't go to a grocery store, a supermarket in Las Vegas area without seeing slot machines. You can't go to a gas station without seeing slot machines, you know, everywhere you go. And she said, you know, you just become immune to it. And it's certainly, you know, you can't sit down at a slot machine every day or you'll be sleeping under a bridge somewhere, you know, one of those crosswalks. But we think our credibility is great. And, you know, now that we have a grandson in the industry as a dealer and enjoying his time of life, very much so, handsome guy and with a beautiful girlfriend and dealing at a iconic casino on the strip. Really happy for him. He's really enjoying it. And then, you know, again, before I leave this gambling thing, my wife and I, Janie, we've traveled around the country and stayed at casino resorts. So it's not that you have to go to Las Vegas. You know, we've been at casino resorts in many, many states, and that's part of our cachet. You know, when we talk about casinos, we talk about casinos in terms of where we've been and what we've done, and we encourage everybody else to enjoy casino resorts and also to enjoy the areas around casino resorts. You know, like, we're not going to lock ourselves into a casino 8 hours a day. I'm thinking right now, just talking about this, Michigan City, Indiana, and, you know, 2 blocks away is a beautiful state park right on with a great beach, so clean, you know, and Lake Michigan. It's just unbelievable. You know, the dunes in Indiana, the sand dunes are just beautiful. So many areas. We talked about Nemacolin, and, you know, they have, it's a ski resort now in the wintertime, and that's Lady Luck Casino. We talk about Rocky Gap and the beauty of the mountain lake that it's sits next to in a state park, immaculately kept. You know, all the areas that we travel, we like to bring something back about that. So this is not just about casino gambling. It's also about recreational travel. You know, and we considered actually an RV. We didn't consider it too long. And so we ended up with a Navigator, the long one, you know, squeeze things in. But if we ever want to get a fifth wheel, we can tow 9,000 pounds with that baby. So maybe we will rent one. But we actually considered an RV because of the dog, you know. We get Bo once in a while. He's an Australian Shepherd. He's a big boy. And we have a little guy, Oliver. He's one of those snuggle bunnies, you know. He wants to be picked up and loved, and he wants to snuggle. That's his whole thing in life. But so he stays in his own little resort, the Pup-Pourri Resort. He gets a suite, two-room suite, a little excessive maybe, but we feel so bad about leaving him. And these are all the things that you need to talk about. If you are at a time of life when you have your own children and such, there are places, you know, I'm thinking of the Circus in Las Vegas, but there are places where you can go, and the trip can include some gambling, but there's other things in the resort for you, you know, and for your children outside of the casino. So you can plan trips that way. If you're able to travel without children, one of the things that we did, and we do, is take casino jaunts where you go from casino resort to casino resort. You know, so we've driven to the Meadows in Washington, Pennsylvania, and traveled out to Michigan City, Indiana, at the Blue Chip Casino, and traveled south in Indiana to Lawrenceburg, Indiana, and stayed at Hollywood Casino, Rising Star Casino, and the Belterra, and then come back north and stayed at a tribal casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. So, you know, we've made trips like that where you stay maybe 6 nights, 7 nights, 8 nights in different casinos, and you're on the road, and that's a ton of fun. And you could do it, you know, as a married couple, or you could do it with couples, and that's a lot of fun, or just a group of friends. You know, and that's where you plan things in and outside of the casino, too, that you all enjoy. So we do hope you follow us. We talk about this a lot. If you want to go with us on Twitter, you know, and follow us in terms of our sports betting and other issues, we're Casinos USA Podcast @, and this is the important part, USA Podcast, capital U, capital P, and USA Podcast, @ USA Podcast. And Facebook, again, our Facebook group, getting close to 600 subscribers, followers there, is Casinos USA. Our website is Casinos USA, written as one word, .bet, www.casinosusa.bet. And finally, to contact us and call the podcast, we have an answering service. It's 1-724-519-4556. 1-724-519-4556.
He's to the 20. He's to the 25. 30, 35, 40. He's down the sideline. 50. I think he's going to go. He's to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdowns.
Yeah, and it's so cool when that's your team that's going down a sideline for a touchdown. But what is it since 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019? Let's talk about these names that, you know, are considered elite, and what's their secret? Well, first I have to explain that you may have heard the term five-star recruit. Well, these recruiting services, you know, led by ESPN, I'm going to say, select the 60 best high school players in the country, and they refer to them as five-star. And I'm going to go from the top six or seven teams In the 2016 season, Alabama had 7, and the next season, 2017, they had 10 five-star recruits. In 2018, 4-star recruits make that 4 5-star recruits, and 2019, 8 5-star. Alabama leads with 29 five-star recruits over the last 4 seasons. So you can see why Alabama dominates. They're taking the best players out of high school. Georgia, over those same 4 seasons, 28 five-star. 28. And let's talk about Ohio State. They finish ranked number 2 in the college playoff system, and they'll be facing Clemson, who's ranked number 3. Well, Ohio State in the last 4 years have picked up 24 five-star recruits. 24! So the top 3, Alabama 29, Georgia 28, Ohio State 24. And the number 1 ranked team, LSU, has picked up 16. But they also benefited by a transfer. That transfer portal paid off for them because they took a reserve quarterback from Ohio State. And you know Burrows, Joe Burrows. They have 16 5-stars and they have Joe. Clemson, ranked 3rd in the CPS. They have 14. They picked up 14 5-star recruits. And I understand next year that it could be a record for them. They picked up over the 4 years, 4, 2, 5, and 3 for a total of 14. But next year, they might have the highest number of 5-stars in one recruiting season that they ever had. This one might surprise you a little bit. Michigan has picked up 13 5-star recruits, and that's why I think a lot of the pundits keep talking about Michigan being underachievers, because they have more talent than people understand. Oklahoma also benefited by the transfer portal, right? With Hurt going there from Alabama, but Oklahoma had 7 5-star recruits over the past 4 seasons. And I'll close out and tell you why Notre Dame struggled. Now, you know, a lot of schools would like to struggle this way. Over the last 3 years, they've gone 10-2, 12-1, and 10-2 again this year. But not the big, big game, right? They didn't win the big, big game. Well, they beat LSU in a bowl game, but not the big, big game during the regular season. And they've only had 2. They've only had 2 5-star recruits over the last 4 seasons. And, you know, you can discuss this. There's a lot of people that say, well, it's their academic standards. And I'm not going to buy into that completely. I think more than anything else for Notre Dame, in terms of academics, is they just don't have an online program. You know, they're still brick and mortar. They still want their athletes to go to classes. Remember Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M? His whole schedule was online, right? He didn't have to get out of bed and go to class. He had to get himself in front of a computer, you know, at some point maybe during the football season. But I don't think it's about academic standards the way they say it is. So when you talk about the college playoff system, 5-star recruits are certainly a part of the reason those teams are there. And I think these stats, again, Alabama over the last 4 years, 29, Georgia, 28 5-stars, Ohio State, 24, LSU 16, Clemson 14, and Oklahoma had the great transfer of the quarterback, but they picked up 7 5-stars over the past 4 years. And, you know, I think it's interesting to put that into your consideration when you're talking about sports betting the way that I do. Okay, well, we certainly, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is something that we embrace. And Casinos USA is a special place where every day is Saturday. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in a couple weeks. So long.